This is a Pinball News production.
Joel Walter. And I'm going to connect him in. There we go. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Joe.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I'm a UK pin.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that very much. Where'd he go? Oh, gosh almighty. We're going to do this one more time. Okay, you better say what you're going to say quick before you get knocked off again.
Hey, thanks for having me on. No, thank you, thank you, thank you. And all the support for this project is fantastic. Is this working?
Yeah, we have subtitles, but yes. Okay, go ahead, John.
I don't know what word for him to go, but you know, thank you for everything. All the support you've given this game, you've given Jersey Jack Pinball, you've given Wizard of Oz. I can't wait to get out there next year with the game and really experience all the support and all the passion that's going on for pinball right now. This is a great time for pinball. It's great to be back in pinball. Let me try one thing. I didn't say it at the beginning. Let me know if I do this right. Hello, mates.
No, you didn't.
No. Pride in English.
Hey, you know,
I'm going to send you some spotted dick when I come back.
Hey, it must be real special out there because somehow you got a guy from Brooklyn to wear a sports jacket.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday, Joe.
Well, see you on Wednesday, Jack, and see everybody else sometime next year with the game. Yay! Yay!
Woo! And a sports jacket.
Yeah, a sports jacket.
All right. All right, thanks, Joe. Have a good afternoon. Thank you. I love you.
See you next week. Have a great time.
Thank you. Love you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Huh. Well, you know, I'm very touched by that induction, and I didn't really expect that. So you got me. Usually, I'm on the end of giving things, and I've learned as I've gotten older to receive gracefully and say thank you. So again, thank you all. I do appreciate that. It's been nice talking to you. Have a good evening. Drive home safe. No, okay. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch in the States, and I guess here in the UK, there's no such thing as a free dinner, I guess. So I'm compelled to speak for a little bit, and I'm gonna put something up. I only did like a few slides for a little. I wonder where that is. Okay, so this is gonna go that way. Is it? Yeah, it is. Okay. So, I got a chance to speak to a lot of you, which was really, again, my honor. And it was a lot of fun. And I got to even play a few games of pinball. And this is probably the latest that I've spoken at any group. So, we'll set a new record. And later, we're all going to take a picture as a group. So, whoever leaves isn't going to be in the picture, right? We're taking a picture, yep. Whether you have a Jersey Jack shirt or not. I had mine, but it was a little wet from this afternoon because it was a little warm. Hang on to that. I want to thank Andy Highway for inviting me, certainly, and being very gracious. And I want to thank you know, I want to thank the wonderful Gary Flower, who picked me up at the airport, and I stayed at his house, and we went out to eat, and it's really great. And Martin, I want to thank you for all the great things that you've done in support of, you know, pinball, pinballsales.com, and Jersey Jack Pinball, and I do appreciate everything you do. Jim Shelberg's not here. He's another great guy that supports pinball. And it's really wonderful. You know, Joe said it. This past week, pinball received three mentions, kind of major. One was on the CBS News, even though the report was inaccurate, we'll take it. One was in the Rob Report, which was pretty good. They quoted me really well in there, where a lot of journalists don't really quote people and stories that well. It was exactly what I said. And yesterday in USA Today, there was an article about pinball. So Jim Shelberg, our job is to put him out of a job where he tracks pinball articles and pinball in the media, because pinball should be in the media three times a week at least. We know. So that was three times in 1 week, and plus the event here and Papa's going on. So pinball back in the mainstream is really something that we need all to work on. And I've said it before, you know, pinball does not belong in a museum, although it's great. You know, they have the museums out in, you know, in California, New Jersey has one and everything, and Vegas has one. It was really great to see young people playing at the show, and it was great. I think they turned the air conditioner off. So you know. Okay, so that's the end of that for a little while. I feel better. I see the ladies fanning themselves. Do I make you hot? No, I guess that's not. All right, so it's just the temperature in the room. Okay, it's all right. Don't throw anything. Especially any of those glass things that you got. You know, they would hurt. They would hurt. I'm going to announce some UK. Come on in, you guys. Welcome back. I'm going to announce, you know, I've chosen three different companies to be our distributor in the UK, which is kind of good. I'm going to get to that in a couple of minutes. I want to take some questions from the audience, and I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. So we have a trademark saying that we have in our company, and it's Jack of all trades, master of fun. And we actually registered that as a trademark, and one of our customers came up with that. So, you know, we're kind of using that for now. Have another company, and that saying is our business is fun. So we wanted to keep fun in there, because that's the most important thing about pinball, is that it's fun. That's what it has to be. So this is my family. I'm very blessed to have them. Ooh, that's kind of dark. It doesn't look the same. They look very tan in that picture. So that's my wife, Joanne, on the left side, my daughter, Jen, that's some other guy in the middle, and that's my son, Jack, next to me. And so there's another Jack, but actually Jack is not my real given name. I'll get to that in a minute. You know, maybe I'm not the most religious person, but I am very active in my church. Catholic, Roman Catholic, I'm a Eucharistic minister, and I'm a lector, so I'll get up in front of the whole church and I'll proclaim, you know, readings and things like that during that, and it's only because of God that I'm able to do anything, really all of us. If you believe in God or you don't believe in God, there's something. So I give all the glory to God for everything that I've been able to do in my life. So there's me. It is true, I can put the jacket on once in a while. Contrary to what Joe says, my wife and I were married 28 years. We're active in a lot of different charitable causes because I don't believe there's any excess in charity. So what I like to do is to give. A lot of times we'll do things where nobody knows what we do because that gives me a little bit more of a wow kind of thing rather than be thanked for something. So I think everybody has that ability, no matter how small the gift. It doesn't consist alone in gifts of money. Sometimes it's just visiting a sick friend or taking care of each other or just being nice to each other or praying for your enemies or doing some things that other people wouldn't expect you to do. Even wishing Gary Stern the best. Yes. So some of the questions I get sometimes are, you know, why did you start a pinball company? And I say, I can no longer sell new pinball machines that were being built. A belief that other people wanted full-featured games that would be fun to play. And I figured if someone was going to do it, it should be me and the talented people that would design the best games possible. So at this point, you know, here I am deciding, thinking about starting a pinball company for a couple of years. And before I convince myself that it's something worthwhile to do, I have to get a lot of things in place. I'm not going to be Wayne or other people that have come and gone and said, you know, they're going to build a pinball machine and then they don't put resources into it. Because the one thing I knew at the time was I didn't know anything about building a pinball machine. Even after being in the industry 36 years and starting as a pinball mechanic in 1975 and playing games and loving games and all that, it's different to eat the meal here as it is to cook the meal and buy all of everything that goes into serving the meal and being successful at that. And I realized that. So I realized I couldn't do all this stuff by myself. And when I finally decided to do this, I announced it on a podcast that was broadcast on New Year's Day. And it was a little podcast. One of my customers had this thing. You know, I just got to it and I said it. And when I said it, I said, holy crap, is that what I really said? I'm going to start a pinball company. And I heard the words come out and I said, wow, that's okay. I guess that's what you're going to do. And I said, we're going to build the Wizard of Oz and we're going to take orders, pre-orders, take money from people. Because look, I'm not going to spec build 1,000 games or any amount of games unless people were willing to put up money and commit to the game. So we made a whole process, as many of you know, that there was a period of time where people were paying money and they were doing different things and they could get their money back until August 1st. Well, the good thing, that's my kids again. Hi guys. The good thing is that, you know, we're sold out of games. So 1,000 games are committed. And at the very end, one person backed out. And he had game number 100 and like 12, 15 people wanted his game number. So the point of this is probably that if you believe in something, as I do, okay, and you commit to that something you believe in, whatever it is, every molecule of your body is going to commit to that goal. There is nothing that any of you in this room cannot do. Pinball is just a little part of it. All right, maybe you can't win the tournament, you can't be Frank. Okay, so maybe that's not possible. But some things are possible. So getting into this whole thing, yes, certainly on January 1st, people said, you know, there was this guy, there was that guy. How's he gonna sell 1,000 games? Nobody sees the game. Nobody's going to play the game. Nobody knows what that thing is. The guy never built the game before. How's he even going to do that? Stern can't even sell 400 or something that people are playing. The guy's nuts. He's out of his mind. But you know what? Nobody's saying that now. Everybody's saying, holy shit. Really? Yeah, really. And we're not going to build 1,000 games. We're going to build thousands of games. Perhaps tens of thousands of games. Okay? My market for this product is not Stern's market for their product. They're building a car, I'm building a car. They're building a Kia, I'm building a Bentley. Okay? Yeah. I'm not building a pinball machine with a calculator. Okay? We're building a pinball machine with passion. It's going to be full-featured games. That when I look at a pinball machine, I see like this Rube Goldberg kind of like mousetrap contraption of all of this stuff that all somehow works together. And the last few years I haven't been able to sell those games because there's no stuff in it anymore. I can take a ball and roll it on the floor and have more fun. So it's not going to happen. Now I had to either decide whether I was going to stop selling pinball machines or I was going to start a company. So let's look at this. Let's recap a moment. Here's a great time to start a company. The whole earth is in the worst financial disaster since, you know, who knows when, before any of us were alive. Okay, the industry is going into the dumper. Nobody is buying good games, you know, because I'm an operator. I operate about 6,000 games with another company I'm associated with. So nobody's buying games. And pinball seems to be, like, going sideways, like, the last 10 or 12 years. So I don't do a business plan. I don't do an analysis. I don't think about any of that. I'm an entrepreneur. I just think of what I want to do, and I see it, and I just go make it happen. And I can't lose because I'm not going to give up. So if you don't give up, you can't lose. You're going to get banged up and bloody, and you're going to learn, and it's going to cost you money, and you're going to... But guess what I did? I went out and I got the greatest people on earth that could build pinball machines because I don't know anything about it. And I put that in quotes. So I went and I got a great artist in Jerry Vanderstelt, who did, you know, Lord of the Rings. You're familiar with the artwork on there. And I'm going to show you some artwork in a couple of minutes that Jerry did in color for the game. We went, I got Joe Balser. Joe, who you met, you know, a couple of games if you don't go to the IPDB. You know, he did The Simpsons. You know, that was a decent game. He did South Park. That was a pretty good game. He did a few other games, too. You know, he did Apollo 13. He did Baywatch. He did several other games. Joe's kind of an unsung guy. He always stayed in the background, and he never came to the forefront to say, I'm the greatest guy in the world because I did this. Look at me and pat me on the back. He's really a quiet guy. We added Dennis to the team. We added the greatest programmer of pinball machines right now, Keith Johnson. The guy is unbelievable. He's an unbelievable pinball player. He's an unbelievable guy. You know, we added on and on and on and on. All the people, Matt, who does the toys, and Jim Thornton is the project manager, and all the people in the company that are doing everything. We designed our own board set. We're not using P-Rock. We're not using WPC-95. We're using a system that we designed, a circuit board that... Is it going to fail? I don't think so. If it does, we'll replace it for you anyway. I'm a manufacturer now with that hat, so I have to tell you, nothing's ever going to break that we're going to build. We also have Bally Williams parts. Something that was thought to be gone forever from the face of pinball machines again. And when you flip this game, as I did, and you saw a little bit of it in the video, you could see when you just touch that flipper button, that ball, bang, is across the playfield. I'm not like pushing my guts into the game to try to get the ball to go 4 inches up the playfield. Wow, isn't that something again? I forgot how that was in the new game. That's great. You know? So having Bally Williams parts in the game brings credibility, it brings reliability to the game. It's an honor for us to have that. To do all the things we're doing with this game, why I chose Wizard of Oz, because even though it's not known in France, we're going to get it known in France. But I chose it because it was not gender specific. It was not something where it's another superhero that appeals to adolescent boys or us men. Okay, it's something that ladies like. And that's a big part of our population. It's a really important part of our population, guys. You know, the ladies. Don't forget them. So a game like The Wizard of Oz, they love it. They love it, as we do. Because they grew up with it, and grandpa loves it, and grandma, and little kids, and everything like that. So the things we're able to do with this game technologically, with the LCD, with different technology in the game, you know, you're really going to see something that I hope all of you say, wow, this is great. And what you've seen so far is like that. It's the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. It's nothing. It's like 3% of the game. So let me try to go back into this thing. So I guess everybody's seen this because on a lot of the pinball websites, the pictures of the whitewood, and then I think I'm going to go to your site and just bring up the shooting of the whitewood again for the heck of it, for those that didn't see it. And you know what? The internet is a great thing. I don't know how we got by without it for years. And as I say that, as this video loads... This was shot August 7th.
Where?
At our Midwest Campus Development Center in Illinois. Okay. So some of the people, we've talked in depth about what the game will be. On the left side of the screen, that's Munchkin Land, and then there's a house in the middle that spins. The coil in the video is not going to be necessarily the strength. It's going to be powered down or pulsed, so you don't really have to slam it that way, but in this video, that's how it was. On the right side, you have the Witch's Castle. So the game has two open play fields, 5 flippers, 4 bumpers, 2 magnets, some kickers. It does not have your typical Italian bottom. And here we have the artwork for the game. This is the left side of the cabinet artwork. And really, so this would be the front, and this would be towards the back of the game, and then it would draw up to the head. So the artwork is basically almost done in color. Finished already, and it'll be submitted for its final approval. And the cabinet itself tells the story of the whole movie as it scrolls through. All the artwork in here is not taken from anything that was existing. Everything was created by Jerry Vanderstelt. So it's a painstaking process. And actually, I think, I don't know if I'm quoted on this, the artwork that we create will become part of a Warner Brothers style guide for the future for other artists to work off of as reference, because Jerry is that great. And, you know, The Wizard of Oz, I picked, like, probably one of the most difficult licenses to deal with as the first game, because it's such an iconic movie, and it has 2 full-time historians that we have to deal with to get whatever we do past them. So that was part of that. I have a video on my iPhone that I could show, I've showed around, of the metal house that was created. And that metal house spins, and it stops in a certain position. And when it lands on the witch's legs come out from under the house, which is really a kind of cool, a really cool thing. And the house on the right side is what Dennis Nordman did, which is what the house will look like. So this is the back box artwork, and what I gave Andy was 2 translites that'll be part of the raffle. And on the game, this area here is a mirror. This is glass, let's say, okay? This whole thing is glass, and this is clear, and this is the LCD monitor, okay? So the LCD monitor will show this back glass artwork, but it'll also show your scores. It'll show animation. There's some different animation that we have that we're working on. We have a very talented animator in Belgium, of all places, that Greg worked with years ago. He's creating some knockout animation that the clips of the movie. So let's say the flying monkey comes down and grabs the ball that's held captive on the magnet, and then brings it back to the witch's castle to drop it behind the doors. At that point, you'll probably see the flying monkeys in the movie come down and grab Dorothy and bring her, fly away with her. So really, this LCD, a part of it is to interact with you as the player, but a big part of it is entertainment for the people that are watching you play the game as well, which is very important. So the game itself has to be technologically advanced to attract more people to pinball, okay? And this game is definitely a game which we want on location. It'll have 2 coin slots on the door, but all the operators that bought games, I'm including for them a bill acceptor, at no charge, because I don't carry any change. I don't know who carries change, but a pinball machine today on location needs to have a bill acceptor. And, in different countries, we'll do something for those operators as well, okay? And again, with this artwork, the images on the game don't exist anywhere. Now, this is all familiar to many of us that have seen the movie, but the witch is a creation of several witches in the story, and it's composed to be this, and the same thing with Dorothy, and the same thing with some of the other characters. Some of them are classic, iconic poses, and some of them are taken and created by Jerry. In keeping with and protecting the license and staying honest to it and telling the story of the movie. We saw that already. Oh, I just wanted to show you folks. I just wanted to show you folks that I have been here before. So the last time I was here, I had to go. I went and I did the tourist thing the last time I was here in June when I came to London with my wife. We went to Stonehenge, that we had to do. We went to Bath. We went to, you know, all the sites. Westminster Abbey was great. And then when I left the wedding, I said, gee, I was there. I knelt by that altar, and that was pretty cool. So I'll be back. I'm not going to be gone. Why will we be successful? Because of our people. And this is a picture of the group, of a number of us. You know, I don't know why they have their arms folded. Dennis is in the back. He looks like he's going to kick somebody's behind. But he's looking kind of, you know, upset there in that picture. But and actually, next week, just to tell you all, I'm going to be on vacation. So, you know, I know you're very concerned that I work very hard, because I really don't work at all. I just do something I love to do. So next week, when I'm in Aruba, the whole week with our family, we go every year. We have a timeshare there. The 33rd week is our week. So, you know, I'll be laying on the beach and drinking some drinks and eating a lot. You know, I'll be thinking of all of you. I'll see all of you, you know, as I'm looking in the water. So all I would say now is I would take some questions while we're still here for a little bit. And it's not too hot in the room. We're passing out. So if you have a question for me. Yes, Mark.
You got a top row.
Yes, sir. See, I know this guy's name. 2 days ago, I didn't know who the hell he was. Now he's my buddy, Mark, and he's wearing the Jersey Jack shirt. The game will have a topper. It has an interactive topper. So the Emerald City Limited Edition game will have a different topper than the Wizard of Oz. And we're not calling our games, you know, standard and regular and unleaded and leaded and all that kind of stuff. All of our games, by the way, since you asked, they're all going to have the same features game to game, and the same programming, okay? So we're not going to take out like some kind of crazy mode that Keith comes up with and do like a cheapo version of it and give you part of it. And we're not going to sell a version of the game that doesn't include legs or balls, because you all have legs and balls, I would guess. No. I'm talking about pinball machines, guys. Okay, come on.
Can I ask you about the hardware?
Yes.
You mentioned you're not using Bally Williams hardware.
Right.
What are you doing in terms of the control systems, the hardware and the software?
Well, you asked about the hardware, and I asked about the software.
Well,
that's kind of two questions, and really. Okay. But since you took care of the electrical stuff, I'll take care of it. The board system was designed by one of our people in-house, and we own the board system. So unlike another company that builds pinball machines at this time, who does not own their own board system, I wanted the most important thing about building a house or a building is the foundation. And the game, our first thought, honestly, was to go with somebody else's board system and throw a Williams board in there for a game or two, and then come back and then create a new board. Instead, what we did was we took, you know, a detour for a few months and a bunch of money, and one of our brilliant people in our company developed the board, which has a drive, all the drivers on it, and the power, and there's going to be a computer board in the game and a sound board in the game. Our driver board could power 5 of some other company's pinball machines. 5 of them. That's what it could do. That's what I was told. If that's not the case, I'll tell you I'm sorry, but that's what I think. So it's overspec'd, and there's parts on it that are going to be available for many, many years to come where it's easily serviceable. All right?
Have you used FETs or transistors as your drivers?
I don't know. You'll have to talk to John. I don't know. It's a proprietary question. Yes, Spike, what? Hi.
What was the question about in terms of understanding what people are applying to machines, what they want? I mean, probably through the things I've done more like sticking an LCD on a pinball machine and cancel around magnets and the rest of it. There's nothing in there that swings down to things that makes you say, well, I want to try that.
Right.
What wow factor do you bring to the market and how to work that?
Well, you know, it's a wide body game too, remember, also. So a wide body hasn't been built since, I don't know, 94, 95. So, you know, when you see the game, if you don't say, wow, you know, I'll be very surprised. We did listen to a lot of people. Remember, I'm an operator. I operate about 6,000 games all over the United States of amusement parks. And the pinball machine I operate, let's say, for example, a Shrek that I have at Universal Studios Orlando makes about $65 a week, while a game next to it does like thousands of dollars, you know, a redemption game or an instant win game. So pinball needs something to help it. If I put a box in that location with a coin slot on it, a shoebox there, it would make more than $68 in that location. So if I can't operate new pinball machines in a location that's an unbelievable location like that, pinball's done. So something has to change with a pinball machine. It's not going to be, you know, like, well, let's just, you know, throw some, let's do what we did last time. You can't do it. So you do have a wow factor here. Between the sound system in this game, which you can connect headphones to, or a jack, since I like the name Jack, so you plug Jack, or you can connect it to your audio system as a component. You have a Wells Garden, a 26-inch LCD. You're going to have LEDs in this game, the right kind of LEDs, okay? You're going to have a kick-ass sound system. It's going to be stereo also, you know. There's so many things down the list. You're going to have non-glare optical glass on the game so that, you know, you're going to look and you're going to go like that and you're going to say, oh, there's glass there. You know, you're going to have a shaker motor in there too. So, you know, here's the other part of the question that you asked that's really important. People would say, a manufacturer would say, somebody else would say, if a manufacturer gives their customer what they want, they'll probably be out of business, okay? And we've all kind of heard that. So I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you what you don't even know you want yet. All right? So a great example is one of my favorite things, an iPad. You know, did you really know, and we go back to Apple, did you really know you needed an iPad before you saw an iPad? You know, so that's kind of what we're trying to do with this game. We'll see. You know, some people have to see it. So, you know, I got to see it. I haven't seen it done. Maybe I don't like it when I act out it, but, you know. Anybody else? Yes, Uncle Bob.
Would this have a real knocker?
A real knocker? I don't know. We didn't get to that yet. You know, we talked about that. By a show of hands, how many people, would like to see the game have a real knocker? You mean you don't like that noise that's somebody else?
We like real knockers in England.
Real knockers in England, okay. That's good. All right. How about like any operators here? Is there anybody that operates pinball machines here? Operators? So like you guys operators, you want like a mechanical meter in the game instead of an electronic meter? You want a mechanical meter in it? No, you don't even care about it. Okay. All right, because operators have been telling me that. Spike, you had a question?
Yeah, a little of the stuff that you put in it. I noticed you've got the bumper at the lower left-hand lane, which I think is great, pop bumper there. Just coming back to the Jack in the Box symbol, I think it would be great if there's an opportunity for that to be a kind of random ball save, if you like. On the little YouTube video, it didn't seem to do much.
That bumper really wasn't connected in a complete way. I played that game, and the whole idea of that bumper was a game under the game, so that when I play pinball, I like to shake the game. As whoever was on my team found out, I tilted on Circus Voltaire by just touching the game, because the tilt was set too sensitive, and I tilted it, and our team got eliminated from the first round because of that. So I shake the game. And because of that, on this game, I can get the ball right back up on the play field. So that's the idea of that bumper down there. You're going to be able to spell out the word that's down there. I think it might be Kansas. That's a good one. You know, and then that bumper there is the State Fair balloon. You know, because remember, you're kind of leaving the game. So the game, you know, you're showing the end of the movie where the wizard took off in the balloon and he went. So you're able to bump that in the ball, get it back on the play field. So yeah. I don't know when they had it set, I don't know what they did. You know, but I played the game and I was able to do that. So apparently Keith Johnson, a lot better player than me, couldn't do that. So I don't know. I'll check it out Wednesday when I'm back then.
Can I ask you another question?
No. Yes.
Can it be controversial?
What?
Is can it be controversial? We kind of, in the UK, we kind of feel ripped off in terms of price. Other pinball manufacturers prevent great imports by frigging their systems to not work in our voltage system. By the time the machines get over here, they're inflated by maybe 25, even 50%, including things like exchange rate and so on. Is that something that you've considered, and how you're going to import it to Europe? And are you going to import it to Europe? Are the machines going to be available to purchase here?
Yes. Customers, there are customers of mine already in the room from pinballsales.com. So, you know, like Spike is a customer, and there's a bunch of other people that are customers of mine. And what I did before was, you know, we shipped games all over the world before pinballsales.com, and I didn't believe then that somebody should artificially try to control the world market of pinball. I think my job is to make sure we build the best pinball machines we could possibly build, and where they go, they go. You know, having said that part of it, we won't have any software that prevents you from operating the game somewhere. We're not going to have all different versions. All of our games are going to be ROHS compliant. So, you know, why would you build a pinball machine in the United States and then have a version that you send to the European Union that doesn't have lead, and then decide, well, let me dump lead on the good old United States of America and, you know, do that. You know, it's unpatriotic, I think. You know, I think it's un-American. Filthy animal does that. You know, I don't think that's right. So, you know, we have three distributors in the UK. You know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be Mr. Highway is going to be a distributor. And we have the Game Rooms company, right? Right? Yes. So we have Alexander, we have Andrew, and we have the wonderful Phil Palmer from Pinball Heaven. Not Pinball Hell, that's a different company. So we have Phil from Pinball Heaven. So for a small country, relatively speaking, but a very important country, okay, to me and to pinball, we have three different distributors, so you have your choice of who you want to buy the game from. My guess is probably going to be that they'll all be consolidated through Phil, because I did a lot of business with him over the years. I sent him plenty of Stern pinball machines when I shouldn't have sent him any Stern pinball machines. And, you know, I really thumbed my nose at the rest of everybody because I didn't believe that those games shouldn't come here. You know, and I sold them here, and, you know, whatever. I'm sorry, but I did. Yes?
Hello, Jack. How did you get started in all this
law? Oh, my God. All right, quick story. So it's 1975. I'm coming out of high school, and I want to go to college to become an electronics engineer. And I decide I'm going to take 6 months off. My electronics teacher says, don't do that. You're never going to go to college. I take a job with a company that has, you know, pinball machines in colleges in the New York area. And I never fixed a pinball machine before. I did play pinball now and then. Really, as a kid, there weren't many pinball machines around the neighborhood. But I remember when we used to go away somewhere, I would play it, and I always loved it. So I never saw the inside of a pinball machine, but I knew I could fix it. Okay, go figure that out. And I went for this job interview, and they had about 30 people apply. And for whatever reason, I was hired. And, you know, I got to go travel around to every college in the New York metropolitan area with all people that were my age that were students there. And here I am fixing games. And then, you know, 6 months came, and 12 months came, and a year came, and 36 years came, and I didn't get to college. So, you know, it really hasn't hurt me too much, apparently. Like I said, I'm pretty blessed. I'm really having fun. Again, I don't work. Work to me would be like getting one of those jackhammers and busting up the street or something like that. So I'm just doing what I love. So I've just been kind of lucky, you know. So I've been, you know.
Have you thought of doing any sort of, I mean, obviously you're an active fan, have you thought of doing some sort of an app so
yes.
that people can bring their phone, play the game, and then download an avatar, and the game is still there, make fun
of the game? Yes. We have thought about it, and you know, any way that we could bring more people to the consciousness of pinball, I think has a great value. And one of my sayings is never say never. So I think it's something that we would be interested in doing.
High
school photos. Huh? Photos of high scores, possibly. The game right now doesn't have a camera planned to be in it. So I think we're getting thrown out of here in a minute. You throwing us out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes, friend.
One question about competition in pinball. As everybody knows that pinball is making this great comeback with the help of Andrew Ayway of YFPA Association, PAPA Association. Do you recognize the amount of work that pinball community in the tournament area are making to make pinball alive? And will you continue in the future to support the pinball tournaments and the pinball association? Is it important for you or not?
I'm a player of pinball, even though I might not have proven that in the last, you know. But I own pinball machines, I play pinball machines, I love pinball. Roger Sharp is a dear friend of mine for many, many years, and Josh and Zach, I know them since they're little boys, okay?
Me too.
And it is a very important part of the community, tournaments. We've even talked about how we can make fair tournaments that might be online, games that are connected, whether or not it's possible to do, what would be fair between the game and this and that. I don't know if that would ever really come about in a real way. But, you know, I have supported tournaments anytime before Jersey Jack Pinball, anytime pinballsales.com was asked to make any kind of donation or anything like that, we certainly did. So anything we can do to promote pinball, that's what we're about. So yeah, absolutely, you know. And it's great that your son is involved now, too. You know, it's good. That's how
it's going. For my tournaments, I always have a junior section. And the bigger it is, the best it is.
Yeah.
Because it's the future. And the problem is that as collectors, we play at home. And I go to the voting and put some coins in the games. I tell you something very rude about your opponent. And I say, holy shit, I have a friend of mine, he has a pinball at home. And he has a more Net software, and as a stupid boy, I put a few euro coin in a game, and all the features I don't have. So I really point on you. If you disappoint me, I will be rude at you.
I think I've been called out. You know, those are fine words in Brooklyn, but you know. No, you know, we had a good conversation this afternoon, you and all the guys, and you know how I feel about that. It's very sensitive for me about that, and actually, Roger Sharp, if you go back and look at the pictures that are on the website and everything, one of the first organizational meetings of my company, Roger was with us at dinner, and the next morning when we all sat down to talk about what the game would be, Josh and Zach were in the room with us for several hours talking about what pinball would be and what they like as a pinball machine and what features they look for. And the game is really a collaboration of a lot of people put different ideas into this game. Joe was the guy, the architect, the main person that took those ideas that he had and that we all had and made it into what this game is going to be. And Dennis was very modest before when he talked about that because he had a hand in the game too. You know, everybody in our company, it's a funny thing, they're all still on honeymoon. There's nobody that had a shouting match in each other's face yet. There's nobody that wrote anything anywhere saying they hate somebody's guts or anything. And in Italian we say the fish stinks from the head, right? So if I work very hard and I have a passion for it and I do it with all my heart, I expect the same from the people that work with me. And they have that same attitude. So this is why you're going to get something that's a little different than what's been out there before. Yeah. Because I'm more interested in not building one game and saying this is the only thing we're going to build and have a nice day. You know, I hope to be standing here 25 years from now, God willing, after we built X amount of different games over time. And you know, we're going to build it up that way. That's the hope. You know, that's what we got to work on. It's high. One more question. Diane. Last question, if anybody has. Yes, sir.
You ever pay attention to the alternative pinball communities, like the simulation or emulation field?
There are guys in our company that do. I mean, Keith does and Joe does. I don't think Dennis does. He doesn't do that. But I check that out sometimes. There's a lot of interesting things going on. And I also say, you know, there was a lot of creativity in the room with the Robbie the Robot. That pinball was pretty cool. And a couple of the other things, I like the Moss to Play game, what they're trying to do. And I think all these efforts that everybody makes individually or collectively, all the work they put into them, you know, it furthers, you know, other people look at it and they say, wow, you know, maybe I can do this or I can make that happen. So, you know, it's all good stuff. So. All right, so I just want to say thank you to everybody again. Thanks for listening to me. My wife always tells me that I get a lot more work done if I just shut up. You know, so that's what I'm going to do now. So thank you very much, everybody.